Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3, we take an inward journey just to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, we get to live from the inside out. It is only by letting your heart matter that you'll be able to claim control over your choices and over your creations. If you've signed up for the Heart Energy of the Week, you received Saturday morning, bright and early, the energy of generosity. And a little quote that says, generosity widens the conduit of flow. We hope that if you haven't signed up, that you will. And if you did sign up, that you meditated with us so that you can fully join with us, not just listen to us, but fully join with us in learning more and empowering more in the world, the energy of generosity. So, Russell, what came up for you when you meditated on generosity?
The first thing that came up was an incident that happened to me. I guess I was in fifth grade. It was the Christmas that I was in fifth grade. I, for the first time ever that year, bought my brother a Christmas present. You know, when you're a kid, you're mostly into receiving at Christmas. You're going to get all this stuff from Santa, and your various aunts and uncles and grandmothers will send you presents too. And we kids, Dave and I, in my family, also made an effort to get a present for our parents, you and our father. And, you know, at first it was just, you know, you make something at school, glue macaroni onto a paper plate or something, and that's your Christmas present. But then we actually started shopping and trying to pick out presents for our parents. But the idea of buying a present for my brother was just sort of foreign. It was like, well, no, I receive presents, and he does too, and he's got plenty of presents, so he doesn't need one for me. But that that year, I decided I had the money, I had the time, why not go shopping and get my brother a present? And I dug through my piggy bank and got all the money I had collected from mowing yards and saved up from gifts that people would give me during the year. And I hiked all the way up to the nearest mall. There was a Kmart up there at the time. And I went through Kmart trying to find a present for like $15. That was about my budget for my brother. And finally did, found him a spring cocking BB pistol, which, you know, I was 2 years older and I had just gotten a BB gun that last Christmas. So, I figured, you know, no way my parents are going to get him a BB gun at this age. But if I got him one, they probably wouldn't make him take it back. So it would be like the perfect present for a younger brother.
Oh, you were sneaky.
So I brought it home and I wrapped it up myself. And it was a really amazing experience. It was the first time that I had really felt that generosity. Not that I wasn't always a generous person, but just to sit down with the intention of bringing more to a relationship than you had ever brought before. It sort of changed our dynamic. We had fought like cats and dogs before. We were not, you know, brothers who threw their arms around each other and went, hey, buddy. And it was not that kind of relationship. But that piece of generosity, me giving him a present, totally unexpected like that, really changed things, and we fought less, and, you know, a few years after that, we moved into the same room together, and I don't think that would have been possible if I hadn't started to change the relationship with that piece of generosity.
You know, generosity in the sense that I see generosity as bringing the heart into the situation rather than just being generous to meet their needs, which, of course, generosity means if you're bringing your heart into the situation, you're bringing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first became a healer, I left myself out a lot. I was just there. I believed a healer was there just to meet all their needs and take care of them. And I totally, completely left myself out. So while it might have appeared that I was incredibly generous because I gave and gave and gave and gave and gave, I wasn't generous because generosity is the giving of your heart into whatever is the script says is needed for everyone, not just them.
Mm-hmm.
And so in learning this lesson, I've had some tough knocks, so to speak. It was easier for me to think of all the times I didn't than when I did. I worked so many hours doing this healing work. I was working 6 days a week, 8 hours a day, which is insane. This work is intense. And totally depleting my body, totally depleting my emotions, totally depleting every part of me, until I finally ended up in a car accident. So that was the final script of them, my heart script in writing in my physical world saying, you've got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So I wasn't reading the script of including me. I was just looking at whatever they felt they needed from me and trying to give it. So I wanted to say how that has been a hard lesson for me. But it's also one I think we confuse a lot.
Yeah.
We do see generosity as just giving whatever they need rather than giving ourselves to the partnership of us, you know, our co-creation, and what does it say it needs. But that leaving yourself out cannot be generosity.
Right.
And we think of generosity as the unselfish giving. Well, it is unselfish if it's heartful. So it's been a tough one for me because I tend to leave myself out even today if I'm not careful and just meet their need and give and give and give, but that's not generosity.
Right.
You know, when I was meditating with this, the pictures I get, and let me explain to people about this again if you're new listening to us. We talk about right brain pictures because when you meditate, that's your spirit talking to you. But you have two parts to your brain, the right brain and the left brain. That's your male and female part. And you want the mother, father, God part of you to be a participant in the message from your heart. And we give the subject of that message the name heart energy. You have to learn to partner your male and female inside, and it starts with the how you receive the message from your spirit. And so some people are stronger with their left brain, some are stronger with their right. And I see a lot of people with strong in the right brain that get beautiful pictures and don't make any application to their life. They don't have a clear understanding, and they don't define how to bring it into their life. So we talk about all those. We talk about the baby steps and all of that. But the right brain feels the energy. You also need to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a picture, but they don't always bring it. Then the left brain can be very rational about it and say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. But they don't have the intense feeling around it. They don't have the bigger picture from it. So they tend to get into patterns of doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the expansion that the right brain brings. So we talk about both. And it's very, very important in your meditating when you get messages from your spirit. And sometimes you just meditate quietly and learn to quiet yourself, and you don't get a message. But if you have learned to quiet yourself and set till you get a message, or even ask that you be given a message, in this case it was the message around generosity, that you'll get one.
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit's very willing to give a message to you. So I was asking, and my right brain's usually pretty active, so I usually don't have a problem getting a picture. Sometimes a little more trouble understanding it. Today I got the picture of a baseball pitcher and catcher with the catcher giving signals to the pitcher.
Right.
And that, when I brought it to my understanding, it was about, you know, the heart saying, okay, I mean the script saying okay to the heart, this is what I need.
Uh-huh.
And the heart sending it. And the heart can veto.
Right.
But they have to work together in partnership for it to really work.
In baseball, you call that shaking off the sign.
Oh, okay. The heart can shake off the sign. But anyway, I thought that was a really good picture. And it just emphasized for me again, because I hadn't really thought about it when I started meditating. And it brought me back to the memories of how many times I have not worked in partnership with the physical script in my heart. Instead, I just pulled out of myself and looked at them and said, oh, this is what they need, and tried to give it to them.
Uh-huh.
So, to me, that was a very important picture. And we'll talk later about the baby steps to bring that into my life. But I think that it's very important to get this message across today, because generosity is one that is grossly misunderstood.
Yeah, it is. It's right up there with what was the one we talked about before? Courage or something like that, where it was almost always outward directed at some problem.
Mm-hmm.
Generosity is sort of like that. In everybody's mind, it's outward directed. It's about giving of yourself to a big needy hole.
Yeah.
And that was a difficult one for me to learn, that idea that if you're going to give, you ought to give to a place that can receive it.
Uh-huh.
Because we always think generosity is about giving to a place that can't receive.
Which is a need.
Yeah. If we give a wonderful gift to somebody who's already got lots of gifts, well, then we're wasting it. We should give it to somebody who's pathetic and downtrodden and has nothing. But of course, that person doesn't receive very well, or they wouldn't have nothing. So mm-hmm. we're kind of wasting our generosity mm-hmm. at that point.
So not only do we need to give what the script says is needed,
mm-hmm.
Which will be what can be received. The script will tell you exactly where they are, because uh-huh. the physical script is what's happening in their life, where they are, what they need, how much they can receive of what they need, and include you, because you're co-creating in
yeah.
that script.
My picture that I got in my meditation was a little different than that. You know, I get different pictures around generosity all the time. I think the bigger you are in an energy, and this is one of my biggest qualities and one of my favoritest expressions in the world. And so every time I meditate on it, I see a new flavor to it, a new little facet of it. Whereas if I were to meditate on patience or something like that, I'd be lucky if I even came up with one picture, because it's so small that it's probably pretty fixed. The only piece I have of it is one little piece that doesn't, you know, change and reveal much of itself. But generosity for me is like a huge multifaceted diamond. You know, every time I look at it, I'm seeing it from a different angle. And I've talked on various CDs that we've done about generosity being, for me, a huge, joyful sort of bounce on a trampoline, that it just sort of takes all the energy you put into it and magnifies it. And that still holds true, but the facet I saw today was a little different, and I want to focus on that. When I meditated and tried to get that right brain picture, what came to me was, the hottest day of summer, you know, just dead dog days of August. It's so hot and muggy, and you're just beat down, and you've been outside clipping the hedges or playing croquet or something, and you're just a puddle. And you walk inside, and this blast of cool, air-conditioned air just hits you, and it rejuvenates you, and you go from, you know, please just shoot me now, to, hey, who wants to play Monopoly? It turns your whole attitude around. It grabs hold of you and takes your outlook, and you go from what you can't do and how little you do have and how tough everything is to what you can do and where you are blessed.
Which widens the conduit of flow.
And where you can go from here. It totally turns your outlook back to the positive, the what you can be.
Yes, it does. And your picture of that is you giving to those that can receive, and mine is reading the script in partnership. Either way, it's a synergy interaction that widens the conduit of flow. Want to take a minute to acknowledge one of our sponsors. It's bountifulbuys.com. So go green online. Reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. Bountifulbuys.com has clothes, accessories, and gifts that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. So check online today to bountifulbuys.com. We have an email from Amy in Little Rock, Arkansas. How do I know the difference between what you call a heart picture and a fantasy? When I meditate, I feel like I just float from fantasy to fantasy and basically come up with a picture of how I want that energy to feel. That happens a lot to people. It truly does happen a lot. And how you know it's not a fantasy is how quiet you get before. If your fantasies come from your mind and your emotions working together to create a picture instead of your heart creating a picture. So you have to do some clearing. And I recommend journaling and clearing every single day. But in fact, I do it 3 times a day. But before you meditate, anything that's kind of bothering you, talk about it with somebody, talk about it to yourself, write it down, burn it up, tear it up, you know, let it go. Whether it's gnawing at your mind and your mind's just going on that little gerbil wheel with it, or whether it's in your feelings and it's just kind of in there and in that unsettled place. You know, if you're really angry, you know that. If you're really upset, you know that. And if it's a really big problem, you know that. But then we kind of push things to the background. And those are the things that want to come out when you get quiet in your mind and say, now look at me. And those are the things that create the fantasies of how we want it to be. Because those are the problems that want a solution. And so if they want a solution, they come out and say, here's a solution, a fantasy, instead of a message. So you have to get very quiet for your heart to speak. I've often said that for the heart to be the most powerful part of you, it speaks with the softest voice. So do you want to address that, Russell?
One thing I do to counteract that problem, because I agree, if you just close your eyes and try and meditate, very often what you get first is your mind just wandering off going, oh, isn't that the lawnmower I hear in the background? Is somebody cutting the grass? Now, why would they be doing that now? I just did that this weekend. You know, it'll just wander away, and you get all sorts of just made-up pictures. So to counteract that, I have a routine, a little ritual that I do when I meditate, and I think it helps to have a sacred place that you go to in your meditation. That can be anything. It can be a memory that you go back to. It can be just a meadow that you imagine where everything's peaceful and there's a little brook and some trees. Just whatever signifies that quiet spiritual place for you. And then imagine going on a journey to get there. In my meditations, I always start with 36 steps, actual, you know, upward steps, like I'm traveling up a staircase, and I breathe each step. I'll take a breath, 36 breaths, going higher and higher and higher. And it's just visualization I use to imagine that I'm going to my higher self and I'm not stuck in my lower mm-hmm. desires. And so I take those 36 steps and those 36 breaths, and when I get to the top of the staircase, there's my little sacred altar that I go and meditate at. And that visualization always sort of prepares my subconscious to give me a heart message and not just a fantasy.
I don't do that. I don't have a special place, but I have recommended it to people a lot, and mm-hmm. it is a wonderful tool. I do make sure that I breathe into each of the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can see as a spark of light in each chakra. Sometimes just the deep breaths, feeling that energy move all the way up. Because you do need to engage your whole self and make sure that you're clear in those lower chakras, that there's nothing physically in pain, that your body has stretched and is comfortable, and that you aren't emotionally upset or mentally, and making sure that those chakras are clear. That's what I gave earlier, is a way to clear the chakras.
Right.
But then once they are clear, and you do need to acknowledge what's in there to clear it out, but once they're clear, the breath helps connect them all, and that's what you're saying. Once you get clear, you can go to a special place. You can breathe your way up and tell your mind you're going to your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way of communicating with yourself. There's many, many ways to meditate, but basically you've got to get yourself clear in all your chakras, or your lower chakras will take over and say, oh, you're giving me a chance to talk.
Right. And we have a lot of resources that talk about meditation tools
mm-hmm.
if somebody wants to explore that further.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it in Spiritual Energy Cycles, our first book. And we have actual CDs that are focused on nothing but that. You have a meditation support CD, and we also have a cassette tape called Meditation and Needs for mm-hmm. anybody that wants to explore that further.
Yes, there's many, many, many ways. While we're talking about CDs, before I forget, we like to remind you of a CD that will fit with the energy. If you really are working on the energy of generosity, then the Abundance CD, we highly recommend that. It has all the mechanics you need to restore a proper flow in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is widen the conduit of flow with generosity. And I think everybody needs to be working on this generosity to increase abundance right now, because we need it in our economy. And knowing that you make a difference. I was working with a client this morning, and since as our Ottawahee community has been working on trying to bring energies to the Gulf to help heal that horrible wound we have in our Earth's aura, all that oil in our water element, she was saying how it's so overwhelming that she just feels sometimes that we're just a tiny little drop and can do no good.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had that feeling several times, that it's just so vast. And my guides came to me last time, in fact, and said, you teach synergy, Jackie, you have to believe in it to
right.
know that this works, which widened my conduit of flow. You know, again, the generosity of all our hearts coming together to fill what the script says is needed. That's me including myself with everybody else, and it is that widens the conduit of flow that makes a difference on the planet. So try the Abundance CD if you're working on generosity, and take baby steps to bring generosity into your life, and realizing by you changing your life, you'll begin to join with others that are changing their life, and eventually you'll have the synergy to make a difference in our economy. There are a lot of people without jobs right now. A lot of people have been cut back in their hours and their income. It's a time we all need to be doing something.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We have from Amy. I think this is it. No, that's the one I just read from Amy. That's not it. Let me go then to our second sponsor. This is from, I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter. I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter has given Jelly a new partner. They have partnered beautifully because the I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter spreads and tastes like peanut butter, but without the peanut allergy concern. In fact, over 4,000 schools, daycares, and Head Starts serve this product daily. Besides its great taste and its great texture, it's very smooth and easy to spread. This I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter contains 30% less fat than peanut butter. It offers 8 grams of soy protein per serving and is a great thing to have on hand for your kids this summer. So spread on healthy, spread on health with I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email from Nancy in Atlanta, Georgia. My parents are generous, but I feel like there are strings attached to whatever they give to my family, like they expect me to meet their expectations with the money they give me. Is that even generosity? They totally believe they are extremely generous people with me. You want to start with that, Russell?
Yeah, I'll start with that. No, I don't think that's generosity at all. I went, after I dropped off my daughter to school today, I went to the gas station, get some gas, and there's a mechanic that works there that I've had some tires put on there. I've seen him work. I've never sat down and had a conversation with him, but I've watched him several times. And the man is virtually a walking zombie. I mean, there's very little spark of life about him. I know from having talked to him, he's a couple years older than I am. But if you were to look at him, he looks to be about 65.
Wow.
He walks with a little shuffle, and his shoulders are slumped. And he just looks like a beaten man with no life left in him. And I figured out what it is... He's a very skilled mechanic. He has a lot of gifts. He's insightful and, you know, can figure out what's going on with your car. So it's not that he started out as a dead human being. He had some life in him at one point. But his father owned the garage. And his brother works at the garage. And he works at the garage. And it's like, every bit of life that God gave him, he put into a place that he was expected to put it. He never put any of his gifts into unexpected places. And he pretty much, within the first 2 years of working there, filled up that container and had nowhere else to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And continued to try and put his gifts into this tiny little cup that he was expected to fill, and there was no place for the rest of him to go. So either he could flip out and, you know, get a motorcycle and head off into the sunset and disappoint his parents, or he could just kill off that part of himself that was too much to fit in the cup. And that's what he chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think true generosity is when you put your gifts into unexpected places, when the expression of it takes you beyond the fence that's around your current existence.
That's a good thought. But even if you take it to places that are standard,
mm-hmm.
it will widen the conduit of flow. In other words, if that cup's too small to hold any more for him, there's no way he's widening it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he... Because we can do the same job and bring our generosity, but it has to keep widening. And I tell people, you know, if you're really generous, you're going to see not just changes in the other person's life, but in your life.
Yeah.
Generosity will bring changes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It increases your abundance by widening the conduit of flow. So, Nancy, if your parents are giving to you with strings attached, you know, you say, well, do I accept their gifts or not? That's always I get a lot of guilt gifts, you know, when right. somebody has taken and taken from me, and they realize, whoops, I've been really selfish and needy. Of course, that's not their problem. That's me giving, again, without generosity of including myself, right, just giving to the need. And I said, that's the lesson for me. But when they realize that they've just asked and asked for me, and I've given and given, and generosity hasn't been a part, it's been an obligation. You know, parents get into this thing of giving out of obligation to their children. After all, they're the parents are supposed to give to their children.
Right.
There's no generosity happening from the parents, but what do you do with the gift? I just clear it off, all the guilt they have on it, and receive and receive the gift that I have purified, in that I go back and I say, okay, I was not in generosity. They're not in generosity. Let me empower this gift with generosity so that I stop the hand-me-down of lack of generosity and try to say, okay, this is the end. With this gift, we're going to continue the flow of generosity.
Yeah, break that cycle.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Uh-huh. And we have an email from Tammy in Nashville, Tennessee. My husband lost his job last year. We've been barely getting by on my income as a social worker. We've stopped tithing at church. How can we be generous when we have nothing to give? Wow, Tammy, that's a good one. You know, when we have, quote, lack, is when we cut back on generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the very time not to.
Right.
When we're really trying to meet bills and so forth, if tithing to your church or to whatever your most spiritual, what feeds your spirit most, if you can give something to whatever feeds your spirit most, then you have created a generous gift, because that in your script is saying they can, that entity, whether it's church or a person or a situation, if you can give to whatever feeds your spirit most, that entity is receiving, and you, and in your script is saying it is something that can receive your heart, can receive. It has the capacity to receive your heart, and as your heart flows into the physical through that conduit, flow happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you start looking at what you don't have, you have focused on lack instead of the flow that is created from generosity.
Yeah. And to take a page from the book that you were speaking from earlier, I would say, you know, it doesn't always have to be, you know, how much money you give into a particular place. Just that you are including generosity in your life every day. And that can be as simple as including yourself in something. Very often when money is tight, we'll say, well, I have just enough money to pay the electric bill, so, you know, no going out to the movie for me and my husband this week. You know, you cut yourself out of the picture to handle all the outside needs. And sometimes just a little bit of including myself back into the picture will boost my generosity enough that I will have enough money for a donation to my church or mm-hmm. whatever.
Well, generosity, as I've gotten it in my picture today, is about including yourself in whatever your script says that you need to partner with. It mm-hmm. it does include somebody else, but it is giving through a way that can receive you so that you are being given. I had a friend call me this week who's really going through a hard time, and she wanted to stay at my house. And I really see that she's part of my script, and healing is really needed there. And as a healer, you know, my tendency is just to go heal her need. Well, the script is saying healing is needed. However, I didn't leave myself out this time. I said, well, I'll have to find you a place to stay, because I can't let you stay in the basement where I have an extra bed, because I'm now meditating there 3 nights a week while I work on the planet. And that is where I've anchored my energy, and that's where I've meditated from consistently, and it is a powerful place for me to meditate, and I'm really trying to work on the golf right now from there. So I included myself. I was generous with myself as I was generous with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's time for another acknowledgement of a sponsor.
One of our sponsors this month is the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. I love talking about it. This is a place connected to our campus. They've got a wonderful little thing here I'd like to read to you. Don't just get away from it all. Go home healthier. The Ottawahee Wellness Retreat offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. The Ottawahee Wellness Retreat, where a retreat becomes renewal.
Yes. And please think of coming to visit us here and staying at our bed and breakfast so that you can have renewal. It is, the energy here is wonderful. The healing energy that is available is incredible. This is from Andrew Balia in Columbus, North Carolina. When I express generosity, I feel responsible for choosing wisely the spaces to be generous in. I call this discernment. Would you talk about how discernment and generosity can blend without compromising the sight of the gift? Do you want to start or you want me to, Russell?
Yeah, I'll start with that. I'm gonna make this my first baby step that I talk about. And I would say that your discernment has to be focused on, number one, have you included yourself, like Jackie mentioned? But also going back to my meditation today, number two, it has to be you turning your outlook around. You have to be focused on what I do have to bring instead of what I don't have to bring. What they can receive instead of what they can't receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the positive outlook has to be there too. So your discernment around generosity is really just a question of getting to that place where you are coming from the energy and not just working off of some constructed idea of generosity means giving, whether you can really get behind it or not. It means giving whether they are ready to receive it or not. It means giving to the places that people will praise you for. It's getting away from all of that. And if you really feel that you're coming from a heart gift that includes more flow and a bigger picture for you and for the other person, then you do have discernment around generosity. If you don't feel that, then you're probably just working with what people have told you generosity is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the discernment of choosing is what I referred to in the beginning of reading the script. Because if you're reading the script and somebody's in your life, they're in your script. But you have to see how their piece and your piece fit together. And that's why with the last person I was talking about tithing, you know, that's, you need to partner and have flow with every single part that's important in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not generosity, it's not just, well, I like this person, so I'll be generous with them. If you're not being generous in all the areas that are important in your life, then they're not going to be important very long because there's going to be no flow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be no conduit to make it bigger. So it's going to, if it doesn't get bigger, it's going to shrivel and die.
Yeah.
It's like the man you talked about that gave everything he had in his creativity to that garage and then shriveled and died.
Yeah.
He didn't physically die, but he did spiritually, in a sense, and emotionally and mentally. So that's what I would add to that, Andrew, that you should have generosity with everything you want to have flow with in your life. If it's important to you, you want to continue to expand the conduit. You want to flow in a giving and receiving cycle. And that's not just every person that you emotionally feel good about or every person you feel obligated about, but those things that are really heartful partners in your life.
Yeah, it really has to feel like the whole situation wants to get bigger.
Yes. Yes, that's a good point. We have another email from Julie in Lake Lure, North Carolina. She says, I'm trying to remember to bring the heart, in this case generosity, to all the chakras, not just the physical. How does that look? Good question, Julie. You know, we talk about the baby steps, which is a lot of just how do you bring it physically into your life. But if you don't bring the heart into your definitions, the mental part, and actually define how you're going to bring it, and then if you don't feel the desire and want to, which I call the celebration or passion of it, then you're just going to go through the motions. And going through the motions does not create flow. It doesn't bring that energy all the way through all the chakras. As I said, when you're meditating, you have to be clear in all your chakras. Once you hear the voice of your spirit and you're given the subject of a heart energy and a picture and an explanation, then it's important that you define it and you feel it and you bring it. And we talk about a baby step, but everything that, and we talk about scripts, everything that you have to do that day is part of your script. If you want to really get these energies, you'll go beyond just one little thing and you'll say, okay, how can I bring it to each of these activities that I have planned for the day? How can I feel myself in it? How can I define myself in it? And how can I physically be acting in it?
Yeah, I had a little spat, a little conflict with somebody earlier this weekend, and in the moment, you know, they said something that was filled with anger and very hateful, and I just wanted to respond back sarcastically. And in that moment, you know, something came over me, and I said, okay, that's a small space that they've given you. Do you want to give yourself the same small space,
mm-hmm.
or do you want to give yourself a bigger space than they're offering you?
Mm-hmm.
And this wave of generosity came over me, and I said, no, I want to give myself a bigger space than what they offered me. They offered me a tiny little space of nye, 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 nye. I want to offer myself the space of some heart expression. And so generosity sort of came into that emotionally charged situation for me and offered me a chance to be bigger than they were being.
Uh-huh. You know, as I say, this lesson's tough for me because I tend to give freely, but I tend to give to the need and not include myself. And I'm really working on that today, as you can tell. I'm hammering it.
Mm-hmm.
Not for those people out there, but for myself. But recently, that came up again with somebody that said, okay, you know, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do with you. You didn't give me what I wanted. So you're a bad person, blah, 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 because you didn't give me what I wanted. Well, in the past, I know what they need, and I would have tried to explain and talk and tell them what they needed. And this time I just said, well, what heart energy do you feel I was missing? And they, it wasn't support. It was another energy. I'll not name it. But it was another energy, and then they qualified it and said, well, it wasn't just you. It was everybody around here and blah, 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 blah. And I admitted, I said, well, if that's in our script and you're seeing it as your need and you're seeing it as our need, I'll look at that. I will definitely look at that, but I have to look at it to see if I'm a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just give it to you. If I'm a part of it, then I'm giving it to us.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I'm hammering that for me. I'm real clear on that. But that's what you have to do, and you have to, as Julie said, you have to make room for it all the way down. So I'm saying it, I'm feeling it, and then we're going to talk about the baby steps in just a minute. But first we have Bill from Orlando, and he says, wow, I thought I knew generosity. Boy, did I have it wrong. I'm hearing that I don't need to be rich or have lots of things to be generous. The poorest can give the same as the rich. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. That was very positive.
That was nice.
Yes. Thank you very much. So let's talk about the baby steps now, just not as something you do, but as an everyday thing that you maybe have something you had to do today, how you brought generosity to it. You want to start with that?
The easiest thing for me to think of in terms of little baby steps, I gave one earlier to Andrew, that you have to really feel that the situation wants to get bigger before you're bringing generosity there. You can't bring generosity to a place that wants to stay small, or you're just wasting it. But the other one for me is you've got to feel that each expression of yours is magnificent, is fit for a king. I brought a store-bought pizza home one time, and my daughters were eating it, and they said, "Well, you know, it's pretty good, Dad, but it's not as good as the pizza that you make at home." And I said, "Really? Why do you think that is?" And they said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's got onions and peppers and all the things you put on it. It just doesn't taste quite as good." And I said, "Well, I think what it is that when I make a pizza for you guys, I cook with a lot of generosity. I do not skimp on the seasonings. I don't skimp on the cheese. I make sure that when I'm finished with that pizza, it is the richest, most delicious pizza fit for a king. I wouldn't give it to you if I was skimpy in any way. If I thought I'm just cutting a corner, I'm saving some money here, that's not good enough for me or my daughters." And they said, "So the secret ingredient is generosity?" And I said, "Yes, the secret ingredient in my cooking is generosity."
Well, you're dismissed now. You can go fix me a pizza. His pizzas are wonderful. They really are wonderful. Yes.
So that's a very simple way you can bring generosity into your life. Just make sure that each of your expressions is something you would not be embarrassed to trot out in front of a king.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And if you're reading your script and say what it means, if you just take that extra quantity, like you said, those extras, and put a little extra, because we tend to give what is the bare minimum of what's needed, you know? And yes, the script says what's needed, but generosity, as you just pointed out, goes beyond the bare essentials of what's needed. And that means what's needed for me and you, including myself. But even then, it's not just the bare essentials. It goes a step beyond. And, you know, I have people that come to me that even have such something as simple as a bee sting, and sometimes they just need my attention. And sometimes they really are toxic because of that. You know, it really does affect them in a strong way. And so I have to read the script, and I have to say, okay, what is needed here? Not look at the problem and say, well, how do I fix the problem? Or they just need my attention. But I look at the real thing and say, okay, what it includes me. If they're just wanting my attention and I don't have time to give them attention, then I'm just taking care of their need if mm-hmm. I take time out and do that. But if I look and say, this really needs healing, and who I am is a healer. I have healing. They need healing. How can I include myself in this?
Uh-huh.
And then I look to say, well, I'm going to include myself by giving exactly to the size, and we've said this before, size space that can be received, so it sets up a giving and receiving cycle. They will then, without even thinking about it, give back to me at some point, or the universe will give back because the flow conduit has been created. But if I give generously just a little bit beyond that space, just a little bit, not for them to have more, but just because I want the universe to have a gift in addition,
mm-hmm.
then I will have given a little bit more, But if I try to heal them a little more than they can receive, I've wasted it.
Yeah.
But if I want to give a little more of healing to the universe, I can say, well, this much I'll give to them, and this much of this healing energy I'll send out to the Gulf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that.
This is from Neil in Columbia, South Carolina. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Do I need flow to be generous, or do I generously give to have flow?
I would couch that in terms of that mechanic I described, that each one of us has some gifts, but if we consistently limit the boundaries of those gifts and just fence off our life into a little pinned-in area and try and keep all our gifts there, we don't have any flow. So it is taking your natural-born gifts and taking them a little bit beyond the current boundaries of your world that creates flow. So I would say that generosity comes first. Generosity is that motivation to take your gift a little beyond the fence. And when you do that, you are creating flow.
Well, you can have flow first. I'm mm-hmm. going to change that a little in my opinion. You can have flow first, but you can't grow flow. And flow will dry up if it doesn't have generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say which comes first, because I think children, for instance, have that exuberant expression. But as they get older, it gets tightened so that they don't feel the freedom and the generous giving of themselves, and it gets tighter and tighter until finally their flow gets cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that generosity is the ingredient needed to keep it going.
I did an experiment one time. I was working in a library, academic library on campus when I went to college, and I made a list of things I felt that I was really good at. I said, you know, I'm a good listener. I'm creative. I have a lot of focus. And I would go around and try and find one person, because it was a huge building. It was a 14-story building, and there were many departments. There was, you know, special collections department and the magazine ordering people and the reference desk. And I would try and find somebody that I had never interacted with before and see which of my gifts I thought that they could receive and offer it to them. I'd go up to them and go, wow, you look like you're going through some stuff. You know, do you need somebody to listen to you? And just try and take my gift to a new place every day for like a week, 2 weeks, I think I went with it. And it was amazing how much more flow I had that week.
That's a great baby step.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because that's another thing. Even though we may give generously of one part of ourselves, and it may have a lot of flow, there's many, many facets of ourselves that sometimes we ignore
mm-hmm.
and we don't pay attention to. And so the generosity of our spirit gets limited. In that, even though we have generosity in our script in an area, the generosity of our spirit gets limited. Yeah, that's a great story, Russell. This is from Ben in Atlanta, Georgia. Can you talk about and explain the site of a space? I'm not sure I know what that means, the site of a space.
I think probably what he's talking about there, we use that term space. I give myself a space, or I look to see whether the person has a space to receive. And that's probably a strange piece of language for some people. So maybe we should explain that a little bit
more. Okay. Terry had written it down from Ben, and she says it's the size of a space. I'm sorry. I didn't read it. Can you talk about and explain the size of a space? Okay. That makes more sense to me. The size of a space, Ben, it depends on how much capacity, heart capacity, in that a person has lived.
Uh-huh.
If they're living from mostly their lack and they've got a lot of debt, And they are living in, a lot of lack.
Uh-huh.
Then their size of their space for money flow may be really small. But they may have, in another size of their space, they may have a lot of creativity and be creating a lot of different things in their life. They may be like a woman who does a lot of handwork and have a lot of creative expression, which would have a big size space, whereas the debt would indicate a smaller size space around the energy of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning money.
Yeah, I had an experience around that maybe will illustrate size of space. We had some friends one time, Jennifer and I, my wife and I had a couple that were friends of ours, and we wanted to get together and do something with them. And we suggested, going out to eat or we had a couple of different activities. And they were like, well, money's really tight for us. I don't think we could go out to eat. And we said, well, why don't we invite you over to our house? We'll have some dinner here, and then we'll play some Monopoly or something afterwards. And they were like, oh, okay, we could do that. And so we went out shopping for what we were going to serve these people, and Jennifer said, oh, here's some fish, the meat counter. Here's some fish. It's marked down. We'll get that. And I said, honey, you don't want to serve marked down fish to our guests. I mean, they mark it down because it's been sitting there a while. It's probably not the greatest fish in the world. Let's get this lamb. They've got lamb here. I can make an awesome lamb stew. And she said, oh, okay, whatever. And so I brought my generosity piece, dinner fit for a king, lamb stew, savory. I cooked it up. It smelled wonderful. We served it to them. They kind of picked and nibbled at it. And the next day they called and complained and said, that dinner was really rich and we both have heartburn. Are you guys okay? We were just worried about food poisoning. And I just got furious and I was like, there you go. They don't have enough money to go anywhere. And I wanted to give them the richest dinner possible. And it was too rich for them. Mm-hmm. It gave them heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not looking at the size of ability to receive.
Uh-huh,
because what they're creating in their life pretty much will tell you what they're able to receive. And if you try and shove more of a gift into their space than they can receive, it'll just give them heartburn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a great example. Yes. And then it backs up.
Mm-hmm.
You've given to a space and it just backs up as a negative on you.
Right.
And so it doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had wanted to be more generous, you could have gotten them the markdown fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have fixed for you and Jennifer a special extra vegetable to go with it that you all both really liked and enjoyed a lot to get that extra generosity into the gift. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story. when you're really generous or when you're really creative or when you really have a big energy, I was just sharing with Terry before we started how it's so easy to become judgmental of someone who doesn't have that big energy, and we become judgmental when we try to give it and they can't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You try to be really honest with somebody who doesn't have any honesty. Well, guess what? It's going to come back on you.
Right.
They're going to judge you for it. So the size of the space does have a lot to do with generosity. We've appreciated you joining us today. And remember that all of our shows are archived. So if you have missed one, you can go back and catch at your listening convenience any and all of them. Be sure and join us by meditating with us. And we meditate from 6:30 to 7 every single morning. And we would love for you to synergize with that meditation and join us in the meditating. Remember to let your heart matter. And by letting your heart matter, your life can become extraordinary. Thank you so much.